hope you're encouraged by this message.
And so Lani's going to continue to play because I really want to preach to a response, if that's okay. All week, in fact, the last 2 weeks, I've had a word on my heart that just won't leave me. Any of you that have ever preached or taught or shared will understand that sometimes God lays a word on your heart and it burns. And it just burns in your heart and you just have to get that word out. And until it gets out, it just sits there. And really is a word that perhaps you have heard many times in Pentecostal circles, to be honest. But I really feel it, and I've never taught on this before or spoke to it, but I want to preach this morning on breakthrough. On breakthrough. I want to specifically speak that word into the atmosphere this morning. I want to speak on breakthrough into your life, into your families, into your situations. It's a word that God has been putting on my heart strongly for 2 weeks, and it won't leave me. So what is a breakthrough? You know, technically, the definition is it's a removal of an obstacle that has been restricting progress. That's what breakthrough is. It's the removal of something in your world that has been hindering progress in an area of your life. Breakthrough, Christian-wise, can be defined as a moment in time where the impossible became possible. That's breakthrough. I happen to still believe that God is a God of breakthrough. I believe that. I truly do. Interestingly, breakthrough is normally preceded by a period of difficulty and limitation. It always struck me in the story where the storm, one of the stories where Jesus is on the boat and with the disciples going to the other side on the lake. And one of the stories talks about the storm whipping up. And then if you study that scripture, when the storm whipped up, it was actually right before they landed at their destination. Because the enemy always roars loudest and the opposition always feels strongest when you're right on the verge of a breakthrough. So I want to say to some of you this morning, if it's been exceptionally and tough recently, it could well be that you are just about to break through. I want to preach to that. Because as I meet with people and as I talk with you and I talk with many of you regularly week to week, some of you I know need breakthrough. I hear your stories. I hear your testimonies. I know about some of your circumstances, and I know that a lot of you require a supernatural breakthrough. You need God to come through in a situation that just will not budge. Something that hasn't shifted. I know that some of you are needing breakthrough in the area of your health. I know some of you are dealing with chronic health issues and you need a breakthrough, or perhaps it's a loved person. I know some of you perhaps need a financial breakthrough. You need God to come through in that area. It might be that you need an employment situation to change. It could be that your marriage has been in trouble and you've struggled year after year and you just can't get breakthrough in that area. It could be that God has given you a promise and you heard from God, you know you heard from God, but you're like, God, when is that promise going to be fulfilled? You need a breakthrough. Could be that you felt such resistance in a certain area of your life right now. Could be that 9 out of 10 parts of your life feel so free, but there's one area that just feels so hindered, so restricted. I speak breakthrough into that part of your life. I know for my own family, we need breakthrough in certain areas of our lives, being very honest with you. Our church needs a supernatural breakthrough in the area of our building and our land. We need a breakthrough. We need God to come through. And you know, I still believe that God does that. Just to be vulnerable for a second, how many of you in this room would say right now you need a spiritual shift? You need a breakthrough? Yeah, yeah. Plenty of hands going up. Something needs to shift in your world, in an area of your life. I believe God's going to do that today. I really believe that. I still happen to believe He's in the breakthrough business. I still happen to believe that God still removes barriers and lifts off restrictions. I happen to believe that God still desires to meet the needs of His people. I happen to believe that God is able to turn situation and circumstances around. This is not just going to be a clever sermon, church. I want to preach to the atmosphere this morning. I want to create an atmosphere. In fact, my intention this morning is that this is not just some sermon where you can sit and just get a sermon. That we actually would engage the body and this would turn into a corporate prayer meeting. That we would be like what the church always was, which was a prayer meeting that sought with God and sought after God, and just God turned up and did crazy things. God hasn't changed. I'll remind you of that. God is a breakthrough God. He's a breakthrough God. Let me show you this scripture. This is an amazing scripture. Just put up Micah chapter 2, verse 13. This excited me when I studied this. This is what it says from verse 12 first. I will surely gather all of you, Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen. like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. Now watch this, right? Because I want to give you the context for the next verse. Micah is speaking to a time when the people of Israel were in captivity and bound up and in bondage. And look what he says next. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before him, the Lord at their head. The one who breaks open the way. That's our God. Watch the more accurate translation, the more original translation goes like this. Just put the next one. The breaker goes up before them. They break out and pass through the gate. The breaker. The breaker. That word breaker is the Hebrew word paratz, and it literally means breakthrough. It literally means that God is breakthrough. He is a breakthrough God. He breaks through limitations. He lifts off restrictions. That's actually part of the nature of the God you and I worship this morning. He is a breakthrough God. He goes before them, and that's what I'm believing for you. Listen to the Message version. Then I, God, will burst all confinements and lead them out. Burst all confinements and lead them out. I love that so much. It's beautiful because when you study this, verse 13 clearly follows verse 12, but verse 12 talks about the context of God being like a shepherd who cares for his sheep. And what it reminds me is that, yes, we can talk about breakthrough and all this kind of language, but God actually cares about people breaking through. He's a shepherd. He cares. In other words, he actually cares for the area of your life right now that needs breakthrough, because he's a good God. He's a caring God. He cares about your breakthrough. I just thought that was interesting. And what I sense today, and what I've been sensing all week in this gathering, is a breakthrough anointing. I really do. A specific, and those of you that have been in this church for a long time would know that I don't often talk like this. I rarely get up the front and just proclaim things for the sake of it. I really sense a breakthrough anointing this morning, a breakthrough anointing. Perhaps something in your life will shift that has not shifted for a very long time. Something that needs to change in your life. I believe that's going to happen today. But before that, I want to look at one instance in the Bible where there was a supernatural breakthrough, and what I believe to be the key to all supernatural breakthrough in our life. So Acts 12 is where we're going to be. And I want to read this story. Let me preach a bit. Acts 12:1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread, or some versions say the Passover. Note that, I'm going to come back to that. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. In other words, he was intending to kill him. Peter is in prison. He's in confinement. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. This story is radical. If you go on and read the rest of the verses, I mean, chains break off. Guards look the other way. Gates open. It's like something out of a James Bond movie. I'm serious. It's an incredible story. But verse 5 burned in my spirit this week as I read that, is that this story, which started with Peter in a situation of confinement where he literally needed a breakthrough, a situation that in the natural appeared to be hopeless. Let me give you the context. Herod did not intend for Peter to get out alive. That was not in Herod's intention for Peter to get out of that prison alive. He gave strict orders that under no circumstances was Peter to leave that prison. He needs a miracle. But verse 5 says what I believe to be the key to breakthrough. It says that, but the church was earnestly praying. Now, whenever, see that word but, whenever you read the word but in the Bible, you have to pay close attention. But's not just some word that links a sentence. But actually means something. The buts of the Bible are actually remarkable because they denote a change. It is a contrast. Whenever a but is written in the Bible, it is a change of direction. The writer wants you to understand one thing, but now he's trying to make a contrast. What's the writer trying to contrast? Prison and prayer. prison and prayer. It's a term of contrast. So whenever you read but, you have to pay close attention. So he says, yes, Peter was in prison, but the church was praying. Peter was facing execution, but the church was praying. Peter was in prison guarded by four soldiers, but the church was praying. Yes, I'm facing this health crisis, but Thrive Church was praying. Yes, I'm in a situation financially where I need a breakthrough, but Thrive Church was praying. Yes, we're in a school hall and we need a building, but Thrive Church was praying. You got to personalize it sometimes, church. You got to personalize it. But Thrive Church was praying. And for the last 6 months, I felt the call of God to lead our church further into prayer. I just felt this call, this pull from the Holy Spirit to lead us into a breakthrough believing people. And I believe that more and more breakthroughs are going to occur in people's lives, which, by the way, is important for why you need to be in a small group. That's why you got to surround yourself and be in a small group of believing Christians, so that when you are going through your thing, you have a but my Thrive group was praying. But my people were praying. You need to have that in your life. The real church is not this gathering here. We are a church of small groups. We're not just the Sunday service. Prayer is the key to supernatural breakthrough. Prayer is the key. In fact, breakthrough is established by prayer and positions us to receive from the Lord. The Bible says that we live under an open heaven. There is an open heaven. When Jesus had the open heaven, I don't read anywhere where the heaven was stitched back over. It's an open heaven, and what prayer does is position you under an open heaven to receive from the Lord. That's why prayer is so important. When every other gate is shut and locked, the gate to heaven is still open. We take advantage of that open gate through prayer. This is simple, I know, but I want to speak this into your spirit, because prayer changes things. Prayer releases the atmosphere of heaven into the earth. Prayer focuses, rather than on your problem, on the one who is able to bring a breakthrough to the problem. That's what prayer does. James says in verse 16 of chapter 5, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Great. Who's any righteous people in this church this morning? Any people who have right standing with God? According to James, it means your prayer has great power and does produce wonderful results. It does. Interesting, when you read that, straight after verse 15, verse 16 goes on to talk about Elijah, mentioning that when he prayed, he literally changed weather patterns. That's what verse 16 says. I don't think we actually understand how powerful our prayers are. I really don't. You know, I had this thought this week. I think the enemy doesn't mind so much if we're a loving church and a caring church and a compassionate church and considerate church. We want those things. But I think he gets really frightened if we become a praying church. I think he's okay if we just have coffees and be nice to one another. I think he gets intimidated when we come together and pray, because he knows that when we come together in the place of agreement, we have authority and things shift. I think for a lot of us, including me, rather than praying about our situations, we worry instead. I'm a worrier, a worrier by nature. I'm melancholic. And I read this theme this week. It was a meme, sorry. It said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. I want to say to you, if you feel the urge to worry, that is a specific invitation at that moment to turn to God in prayer. Whenever you feel the temptation to worry, that's prayer time. Prayer time. The moment you feel worry, prayer time. Turn to God. Turn to God. He's able. I want you to notice in both James 5 and Acts 12, in verse 16 and verse 5, both verses make specific reference to the way they prayed. Don't miss this, church. In both passages, it mentions earnest prayer. Just put that verse from Acts 12 back up for a second, verse 5. Notice that? Some versions say fervent. I want you to pay close attention to that. It's not just normal praying. Earnest praying. Fervent prayer. It was the fervent prayer of the church that led to Peter's release. What is fervent praying? Well, in the English, fervent means ardent, intensely passionate, boiling, burning, glowing, exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feeling, zealousness, having or displaying a passionate intensity. In the Greek, the word fervent is ektonos, and it literally is one of the most intense words in the Greek language you read. It actually literally means intensity, intenseness of prayer. It is a normal, it is a higher intensity of prayer than normal prayer. If you have ever been to Sri Lanka and gone into a prayer meeting, you will understand what earnest praying is. In fact, if you've never been into a prayer meeting like that or anywhere in the developing world, it can be confronting because it is loud, it is passionate, it is lively, it is not intimidated, it is bold, and I've got to tell you, for the Western Christian, it feels confronting at times to go into a prayer meeting like that. But here's something else that's cool about the word ektenos. This is really cool. This really helped me to understand it because that word is so rich. It also means intense, but it also means to stretch out. It pictures like an intense strain. It means to go beyond the natural. It was a medical term. It means like to stretch a muscle to its furthest point. That's what intensity is. You might have heard it called intercession, but whatever you want to call it, let's just keep it, call it prayer. It's intense, passionate, emotional praying. Charles Spurgeon once said, "We can't commune with God who is a consuming fire if there is no fire in our prayers." Let that just sit on you for a second. He's a consuming fire. Passion and heart. Bill Johnson says, if your prayers aren't moving you, they're probably not moving him. It's important. You know, I often think of the times I have really prayed are generally in a crisis. I often think, this is, and I pray this never happens to anybody, but if one of your loved ones right now was in the ICU, you'd pray differently. You pray very different when it's an emergency or a crisis. And the writer's trying to get across it, that kind of prayer precedes breakthrough, where there's a leaning, a totality of all that you are to really put everything into what you have and really summons heaven. It gets his attention. You know, in 2009, Amy and I were in Scotland, and amazing place, but we had the privilege of meeting with a man, and he prayed for us. It was incredible, with a man called Bill Gilvear. Scottish evangelist, Scotland's most famous evangelist. He'd written books, and he was a close friend of Amy's grandfather, and we had the opportunity before he died to meet with him and to spend time with him. And he was saved out of the Glasgow street gangs, you know, the razor blade gangs where they'd put razor blades in their beanies. An amazing man. And so just sitting and listening to his stories as he shared the stories and how he trusted God in impossible situations. He actually shared the stage with Billy Graham when Billy Graham went to Scotland. And so when you get in a room with a person like that, you listen. You listen to what they have to say. But one of my favorite stories about Bill was the time that he was invited to go and preach at a church in Scotland that needed incredible breakthrough. They'd been believing for, I think, building miracles, just like we're in. They'd been praying to God for like 3 months for a breakthrough financially, and it just wasn't happening. And as Bill turns up to preach, and I'm not even going to try to do his Glaswegian accent, because I'll make a fool of myself. And Amy's going, thank God. But as he rocked up and they're like, we're praying for this. And this is what he said. He said, I know you've been praying, but have you really been praying? I mean, have you really been praying? And he proceeded to lead the church through the most fervent, earnest, passionate prayer. Now, for a Scottish evangelical church, can I tell you that challenged everything in their mindset? Because sometimes we have these quiet, safe, little theological prayers and it's not really impressing anybody. God just wants you to be raw, passionate, real, call on his name. Ektenos prayer is prayer that stretches beyond safe. It stretches beyond quiet. It stretches beyond reserved. Ektenos prayer stretches past inconvenience and past intellectual limits. Ektenos prayer. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper this to me on Friday when I was praying and preparing. He said this, tell the church or teach the church how to pray fervently because they have an enemy that is fervently and earnestly opposed to them. You do. You have an enemy that doesn't want your breakthrough. He's restricting your progress. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the enemy wants to do whatever he can for you to not get your breakthrough, which is why he hates prayer meetings. He hates words of faith. He hates it when we pray. He would rather us just stay comfortable and argue about the Bible rather than actually praying the Word of God. Ektenos prayer. Ektenos prayer. Secondly, I believe breakthrough prayer is persistent. It's persistent prayer. You know, when you read this, Peter's breakthrough happened off the back of passionate and persistent praying. Put verse 5 back up again. It says this. So Peter was kept in prison. Kept in prison. That made me ask the question, how long was he in prison then? The text doesn't clearly say how long he was in prison, but we get a clue. Because he was in, the whole time he was in prison, the church was praying. Now, he was in prison at the start of Passover. Passover was 8 days in length. So it's likely that the church was praying for 8 days continuously. 8 days continuously praying ektonos prayer. Non-stop. 8 days prayer. It always intrigues me and makes me laugh when people say we need to get back to the Acts church. Really? That means you better get up at dawn every morning at 5 o'clock and meet at the temple courts every single day, not come to church once a month or twice a month. Every single day they met, and they met for hours in prayer, and now they're praying for 8 days straight. That's not to disparage anybody, but it's like if we really want to be the Acts church, we need to understand what we're actually talking about when we say we want to be the Acts church. 8 days of praying passionately and consistently. 24/7. Wow. Even when Peter gets his breakthrough and goes through the gates, he rocks up and knocks on the door and he has to interrupt the prayer meeting that's still in progress. They're still praying. And what's amazing about it is they're not even sure that it's him when he gets there. It says they're shocked, they don't believe it. Isn't it amazing that we could be praying passionately and persistently and God turns up and does a breakthrough and we're like, oh, it actually worked. Yeah, they didn't even expect the breakthrough. Praying passionately and persistently. 1 Thessalonians says to pray without ceasing. Without ceasing, church. Because this persistent prayer leads to sudden breakthrough. Persistent prayer leads to sudden breakthrough. Verse 7 says, suddenly there was a bright light in the cell. Suddenly there was an angel in the cell that appeared and brought a breakthrough. Breakthrough in our lives usually happens suddenly. It's not a gradual process. It's instant provision. It normally happens in a time you least expect. Breakthrough is breakthrough. It's sudden, unexpected, bam, God's there. But it's always preceded by passionate, persistent praying. Who wants to join me on that this morning and in the weeks ahead and the months ahead as we go into 2020? The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. The angel touched Peter, but it was prayer that touched the angel. Do you know that when you pray ektonos prayer, it actually summons angelic activity? I know some of you that you might struggle with that, but read the Bible. They were praying and angels turned up. Angels are summoned when people pray. It's a real thing. It's a Bible thing. I want the band to come and join me. We're just about done. Do you know what intrigues me probably the most about this story? There's lots about it. It's that Peter wasn't even praying. Think about that just for a second. Maybe he was. Perhaps he was, but the text doesn't say that he was. It makes no reference to the fact that Peter himself was praying. In fact, Peter is sleeping. Peter reminds me of one of those annoying people that can sleep in any place at any time. You know those people? Maybe you're married to one of those people. They can just sleep. Now, this is a sermon for another day, but this intrigues me that the night before his execution, Pete's sleeping like a baby in perfect peace. Think about that for a second. Chained up in stocks the night before his execution, perfect peace. Why? Because Jesus had already given him a promise by his death. And when you know the promises of your God that God gives you in your life, you can rest through any storm. Because if God said it, it'll occur. And so Peter is resting completely. But nowhere in the passage does it state that Peter himself was praying. But it makes it very clear that the church was praying. The church was praying. The church was praying. This excites me because some of the breakthroughs that are going to happen in your life this morning won't even be because you prayed. Yeah. It'll be because the church prayed. That's the goodness of God, the grace of God, that I can be in a situation where I don't even necessarily have the faith to believe that God could turn me around, but my church family that gathers around me could intercede on my behalf, and the breakthroughs could happen because the church prayed. The church prayed. I love the story when the four men who lowered Jesus, lowered the paralytic through the roof. And it says Jesus saw their faith and the man was healed. I want us as a church to intercede and pray for those who cannot even pray for themselves. Notice it says in the next verse, it says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone. And it says, he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. When it says that the angel struck Peter, it's more likely that it means more that he just nudged him. It's not like a whack, it's a prod. It's a nudge. Some of you this week are going to get a nudge from the Holy Spirit to take action on what we declare today. Some of you are going to get a nudge from God this week to just like make a change, because he just says, get dressed. Get dressed. Put your shoes on, Pete. Put your clothes on. So simple, but yet so deep. Do what you can do and God will do what only he can do. You do the simple things. You do the small things that the Holy Spirit tells you to do, and God will take care of the rest. I love that. I love that. To take a step towards your breakthrough. So Peter gets up. I want you to stand with me, church, because in a minute we're going to pray. So Peter gets up and he walks straight past the guards in full sight. Watch this. And he comes to the iron gate and it opened for them by itself. Automatic gate. It opened for him by itself. Some of the doors that are going to open after this prayer meeting are going to happen supernaturally. You're not going to have to touch it. There's going to be some things that open up in your life that you don't have to put your hand on. You don't have to manipulate it. You don't have to work it. You don't have to scheme it. You don't have to make the call. You don't have to do it. You have to just trust God. There's going to be some breakthroughs that happen that fully happen simply because God just did it. The door just opened. Bang, bang. Supernatural breakthroughs. Supernatural breakthroughs everywhere. In Jesus' name. God's going to do it. Do you believe it, church?